Sportsbet Elite Average Games. Download the app today and make it look easy. With Sportsbet, gamble responsibly.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to your top-rating Saturday morning sports and variety Dead Set Legends. That's right, 9 to 11.30. It's a good afternoon to everyone out there. Have a fabulous day. It's a gorgeous day. I mean, a good morning day.
Yeah.
We are a man down. Gregory Blewett is crook. He is at home with his golf sticks in bed, but I go into battle with a star. Bradley Ebert, good morning to you, young man.
Good morning, Jars. Great to be here, mate. Very, very good week, and I'm excited.
I'm excited, young man.
That it's just you and me, you know?
Are we going to bond, are
we? Oh, I don't know if we're going to bond or biff, I feel.
Biff?
The way that you've come in this morning, I wanted to see some excitement, and he's
like, g'day, mate.
No, hang on. No. I like to get myself in the zone.
Oh, I know. The jovial Jars that you hear on radio is not the real Jars
behind the scenes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, it is.
That's what I'm saying.
And
that's,
she brings a nice, beautiful smile into this studio. Good morning, G.
Good morning, thanks. Emma so much. It's just a pleasure to be back.
You're our little superstar around here on Triple M. Now, Greg Blewett's down. He's crook.
Yes.
Now,
following the leader.
I beg your pardon?
Following the leader. You've obviously been off for a good week.
I was like a real beach whale there for about a week and a half, really struggling, but bounce back. There's a bit out there at the moment.
There is a bit.
A virus.
Mm.
But we've got a big show. Who's on the show, young man? Let's go, please.
Well, we've got Nathan Van Berlow.
Right.
He's coming up to just have a chat about, the Crows last week, how they're looking for this week. We've got Rusty's V8 spot. I'm excited to hear about
him.
So
who's Rusty?
Rusty, Greg Rust.
That's the boy.
Number one commentator,
that's
Greg Rust. Jay Clark, he's got some big news breaking out of Melbourne, as always. He's always the man. And we've got a few different segments to just have a chat about, I guess. Bernie's B finishes it off. And At Home with the Legends.
Yes. Now, plenty to get through. Obviously, it's been a funny kind of week regarding the AFL fixture. We saw last night's game, 133353, or get on the text line.
0488 51047.
If you've got anything. Now, the best Indigenous player we've ever seen or played with.
Yes.
The team's come out in today's Tizer.
Yep. I'm keen to have a chat about that as well.
Okay,
we've probably both played with some absolute stars of the game.
Yep.
And I'm keen to have a chat about that.
Right you are.
Also, I'm keen to just have a chat about the whole jab scenario. I have a particular feeling on it all, and I'm keen to get your take on it as well. So anyway, mate, let's see what comes after the break.
Yes.
Your Dead Set Legends this morning, it's Ebo and Jars on Triple M. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. It's your Dead Set Legends this morning, Brad Ebert and Andrew Jarman.
Now, I take it I'm just going straight off the top, Jars?
Yes. You want to have a chat about the vaccine.
I guess where I'm at with this is, we've seen what it happens in Melbourne. We've had our own little lockdowns over time. We're looking at what's happening in the rest of the world.
Right.
I'm still baffled by the fact that so many people are hesitant to get a jab. I'm reading in the paper today, it's a 50-50 split. 50-50 on a jab that has been studied, proven by some of the world's greatest doctors and leaders in all this sort of stuff that are saying, yes, it's clean. Yes, it's good. Mm-hmm. It will help us do this, but we need everyone to do it to make it good, to make it so that there's that herd immunity and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm reading here that there's 50% of people that are going, no, I'm not sure about it. Not sure about what.
So why? Why aren't they sure about it?
But people don't understand it. So therefore, then they're going on the basis of, oh, there's been some clotting. Oh, there's been some issues. And it's like, well, what, 5 out of 2 million people or something have had clots, or you know, the rates are astronomically
low
in that sort of favour. And I'm sitting here going, the repercussions for the rest of the country, the rest of the world really, is huge. So for us to sit there and naivety kick in and go, oh, we can't have a jab now, I'm nervous of it. I sit there and I think, why not? You keep seeing these sort of little outbreaks and everyone goes, oh, it's the government's fault. It's the government's fault. My wife is a physio. She's got her first jab because she works in a healthcare profession.
Yep.
Looking on the list online when she was booking in, it was empty. There was not one person that had booked in to get a jab.
Yeah.
She could pick any time. Oh, 8 o'clock on Monday through to 5 o'clock on a Monday. Could pick any time.
What vaccine did she get?
She got the Pfizer.
And then she's
gone in there, pretty much an empty Wavell Showground Hall a few weeks ago. And she's sitting there going, how can people sit there so naive to the fact that this is having a massive impact on the rest of the world? Adelaide's been very sheltered. I get that. But you can only see what's going to happen. And we can't stay like this forever.
Mm.
People from overseas are going to want to come back. We're going to want to leave. Surely everyone just bites the bullet, goes in, backs the science, and stops listening to these naysayers
anti-vaxxers.
And anti-vaxxers that are coming out with false facts, really.
I'm so with you, Ebo. I think a lot of the fear comes from people thinking it's just been developed really quickly. Oh, but we don't know what's in it. Like, there hasn't been enough time.
Yeah.
But we've had the entire world's resources
poured
into developing this. And, like, all around the world, COVID is ravaging other places. We've been, like you said, very protected here. So we haven't really seen, like, the direct effect that
it's
had. So people think, oh, it's fine. But actually, what we should be thinking is, we're so lucky to have had this lull where we don't have COVID in our community, where we should all be just getting vaccinated ASAP so that when it does hit like it has in Melbourne now, we're protected. We're
ready. Would you, if we're you ready. Knew someone that had a terrible reaction from the vaccine, would you have a different opinion?
Not in that sense,
it's
no.
It's so, so rare, know. Though, Jazz.
It's so rare.
It's that like any
but
you've
got 50% of people that are unsure
that's
and have
they
no
don't
confidence.
Know.
Maybe
that's,
don't have confidence
so
in the vaccine.
Any form of
so
vaccine
that's
has repercussions. Like, any form of vaccine has issues around sort of blood
what,
clotting and different sort of things.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm. Yes,
but
it
then
does.
You think about the amount of people that die each year from the flu. It's like crazy numbers compared to what's actually happening with the COVID numbers of death rates and stuff. But everyone gets feared. Everyone believes everything that's going on in the media, and then they're reluctant to do it. So I just think, even you look at last night, say, okay, you're not caring about what's happening around the place. Mm. You look at footy last night. You look at the state of Victoria. They're now going into turmoil again to lock down for a week, cost the economy $1 billion or something like that in the space of a week. And then the repercussions of that will just continue to flow on until we all get vaccinated, until we can open up the world again. It's just going to keep happening like this. So I think we've got the phoners open, don't we?
Well, we do.
I'm on here. Well, Charles, where are you sort of sitting on this? I guess I've got on my
I'm still
horse.
Looking into it.
Yeah.
And that's
fair.
That's my prerogative. That's my decision.
And
so.
Totally.
Yeah, have you had
good.
Your jab?
I will when it's open for me. Definitely. Okay. Definitely I will.
133353. Chrissy from Hallett Cove. Good morning.
Chris, mate.
Good morning. I'll give you a point of view. I've got emphysema.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually scared shitless as to what's going on in Melbourne at the moment, so I have my eyes up. But I don't want to be a guinea pig. I've also had blood clots before.
Mm.
So I'm screwed if I do, screwed if I don't. Mm. I don't know what to do. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's where I guess you've got to go to the medical health professionals and actually get their advice on that sort of stuff. And that's it. So, yeah.
Yeah, but advice on what? This hasn't been tested on anything yet. We are the guinea pigs this time.
It's been tested on about 1 billion people around the world so far.
Yeah, majority of the US is now vaccinated, I read the other day. Yeah, so it has been tested.
What's going to happen in 5 years' time? This thing could be the next I don't even know the word. The baby defect thing, the thalidophyte or whatever it is.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
could be next, in 5 years, 10 years' time. You know, things normally get tested for 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
But we just don't have that time.
That's exactly
you
know. It.
So, Chris, what's your doctor saying? Have you sat down with your doctor to have this discussion?
This is happening next week.
All right, mate.
Yeah, good
cool.
on you.
And well, good luck with it, Chris, and thanks for your honesty, mate. All the best with it, buddy.
Right. I think what you got to remember is that you're more likely to die of COVID than you are to die of getting the vaccine.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Phone lines are going absolutely nuts.
That's your opinion, though, G. That's not everyone else's
and
opinion
I respect
and
the
your
fact
opinion.
That and I respect the fact that the phone lines are lighting up.
Let's
everyone wants to have their
George
chat, so let's
over
here.
G'day, George. Good morning.
It was a good morning until I started listening to this rubbish.
Yeah, you're filthy, aren't you?
Well, Jazz, I'm big George. I see at peak all the time, so you know who I am.
Yeah, g'day, mate.
But who are these guys to tell me to take this vaccination when I've got a lot of people in Melbourne have had this so-called vaccination and now Melbourne's in lockdown and they've been told to stay inside their houses, they can't do nothing.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I thought once you've had the vaccination, everything should be okay.
Well,
why do healthy people need to stay behind closed doors for?
Because not enough people have had the vaccine yet. So if you've had it, you're safe. But what about everybody else in the community? We need a certain percentage of people to have the vaccine so that it's effective.
And you're
then why should I still have to be inside a house then for just because someone else has taken? This is what I'm trying to say. It's an absolute joke. If this was such a bad virus pandemic, why is only part of the world got it and the rest of it doesn't? Let's be honest.
Very good
because
point.
We've locked ourselves away from the rest of the world and we've sheltered ourselves.
It's one,
so
it's one of these... discriminative viruses that you don't get at IKEA, you don't get at Bunnings, you can't get at Woolworths or Coles, but you can get it when you go to football by standing up walking, but when you're sitting down, you're safe. Turn it up.
Good on you, George. See you at the gym, buddy. Let's keep going on the phones. Reese from Port Noarlunga. G'day, Reese.
Hey, guys. How are you?
She's a hot topic this morning, mate.
It's hot, and it's something I've been following pretty closely.
Right.
Now, if you want to look at real stats, COVID has a 99.92% survival rate.
Yep.
If you're fit and healthy.
Yep.
And as you get older, it goes down to 94.6. And also, you've got to keep in mind that this has not been approved. It's an experimental vaccine. It's not due to be finished till January 23. There's obviously different types. And also February 23. So that's not even been approved yet. It's only for emergency use. And from all the things I look at, and you can look at stats and look in and get away from mainstream media, but there's been over 4,000 deaths in America within 3 days of getting the vaccine, and in Europe over 10,000 deaths. Jeez,
and yeah. Reece, how does that compare to people who have actually died from COVID?
Yeah, well, you want to take the amount of people that have had COVID and the amount of people that have actually died. The CDC in America has admitted that they stuffed the tests up and only 5% of what they've said in America has actually died from COVID. Everyone else has had serious ongoing conditions, and they just happened to get the COVID when they were dead, when they died.
Brilliant, Reece.
So therefore they died of other causes. And
you just got to do some research.
Yeah. So they've died of other things. No, that's, all right, mate. No, this is good. I'm appreciating that everyone's calling.
Everyone's got a different opinion.
And that's it.
And that's exactly
and this is
right.
what I want to
You're
hear.
The one that, you wanted to discuss it.
I want to discuss it.
All right. We're going to have a, what are we doing now, G? The phones are going.
The phones are absolutely
And that's what happens when you listen to the Dead Set Legends. That's how we roll.
All right, why don't we keep taking some calls? We'll go to a song and we'll come back and hear more. You're rubbing off on me.
I am.
The Dead Set Legends on Triple M.
Legends.
Hoodoo Gurus. Now, these guys have just announced their 40th anniversary tour coming here in December. See him at the Entertainment Centre in December. Gurus on Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Brad Ebert and Andrew Jarman.
Phones are going off. Bradley Ebert's encouraged people to go and get the vaccine because you're a little bit concerned about the numbers that have been put in today's paper.
I just could not believe it. This morning in the paper, 50% of people, pretty much, there's different age brackets and all that sort of stuff, but it's pretty much a 50-50 split of people saying that they're hesitant to get the jab. When there is so much data, so much research out there, people only listen to what they want to listen to. And that's the previous callers.
Respect what they say.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's their opinion.
But there's so much misinformation out there that it's scary. And the fact that I'm actually touching on this, it's quite interesting to know. I'm keen to understand what people of Adelaide are thinking. And
Let's go to Stepney. G'day. Good morning, Adam.
How are you?
Yes, good. What's your take on it?
Listen, I've had this debate with some mates. You know, they're alternative medicine type guys. There's guys, you know, vegetarians and all the rest of it, right? So my take on it is this. I'm saying to them, okay, it's 1914, right? The world has gone to war, okay? We have to enlist. We have to do something as a populace, as a community, okay, as a country. Now, we're not going to war with another country. We're going to war with a virus, all right? Look, I'm worried, I'm concerned, but the thing is, I'd be worried if I had to go and enlist and go and fight a country, okay? But it's just something that we have to do as a humanity, as a population.
Mate.
We have to roll our sleeves up instead of putting a uniform on, right? And instead of going over the top of a trench, we have to take a jab. And look, we take a bullet. Some of us are going to go, okay? It's a very small. It's nothing like it was when the world goes to war. But we are at war with a virus. People need to see it like that.
Well said, Adam.
So much misinformation. Look, I've got into debates with my brothers. I've got into fights with my mates. But that's what it is. We're gone to war with a virus, and we all need to do our bit.
I love that example.
Good topic, guys.
Thank you, Adam.
I do love that example because it is a way that people can probably comprehend it. A lot of people are going, oh, this is what I'm hearing on Facebook, or this is what so-and-so is saying. It's like, well, hang on a second. Let's think about this logically. And he's put it into a pretty,
very serious way,
but that's exactly it.
Joe from Glenelg. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How are you, boys?
It's a hot topic, mate. What's your take on it, please?
I have a question because the manufacturers admit, and Jacinda Ardern was on the media release after one of their hotel workers was fully vaccinated and tested positive, that the vaccine will not stop you catching it and it won't stop you transmitting it. It'll lessen your symptoms.
So therefore,
less people will die.
Therefore, it goes from, it's just like a flu, I guess, isn't it?
You won't achieve herd immunity. You'll never achieve immunity if it can't stop you transmitting it or catching it.
But you transmit it to another person that doesn't have the symptoms and therefore then just gets it like a cold.
The whole point of a vaccine is to stop a disease. This doesn't stop it. It doesn't stop you catching it. It doesn't stop you transmitting it.
So you take a flu vaccine ever? The flu vaccine every year, it's not going to stop you from getting the flu. It just stops you from being bedridden for a week.
That's debatable too. My sister had the influenza A vaccine 2 years ago, and then 2 months later she was in hospital with influenza A, and she had 2 weeks in hospital. So, you know, that's debatable.
Yep.
There's a doctor, Michael Yeadon, Y-E-A-D-O-N, who was deputy chief officer of Pfizer, a vaccine manufacturer, and their chief scientific officer, and he's got some wonderful stuff that he's released. He says this is nonsense. You don't need a vaccine to you don't use a vaccine that hasn't been extensively tested, and you won't stop a pandemic. And as the other chap said, the CDC in America, the Centers for Disease Control, in their own statistics, 94% of COVID deaths in America actually died of something else. They died with COVID.
Yes, totally. So that, yeah.
And in America, if you die in a hospital with COVID, the hospital gets an extra $11,000. So you'd think that might...
Oh, totally. But then that's sort of going against what we're saying, I guess.
Good on you, Joe. Anyway, we've got to keep moving, mate. Yep. Thank you for sharing that. Let's go to Andy of Manopara. Good morning, Andy.
G'day, buddy. How are you, mate?
You got concerns about it?
Go for it.
Yeah. Look, I'm 57 this year, and I must admit I'm actually scared shitless because it's so much media hype. I think if it wasn't so much of the hype and the negativity, I think people would just go and, you know, and do it. My doctor, and he's a marvellous doctor, I've had him for donkey's years, he's turned around and said to me, look, go and do it, you know, it's okay, you know, so I'm gonna suck eggs, I'm gonna go and do it, but it does scare you because of the media stuff. They need to just lay off and just keep it nice and calm for people, I think.
But I guess it does exactly this. It creates content. People are really interested about it, and people want to know exactly what's happening. And because there is still that grey area to it, it creates that talk, doesn't it?
All the AFL players, have they had their vaccine? Do you know?
No, because they're not getting special treatment. So when their bracket comes up, definitely.
Yeah. All the players have to get it done.
They will. Because look at the competition at the moment. It's going into turmoil again. And I just think that what's happening is that Australia is so sheltered. As soon as the border, but we can't stay like this forever. We've got to open the borders eventually, and we can't keep going into these snap lockdowns. It's just going to stifle us.
Yeah, Tommy, thanks for that, Andy. Thanks, Andy, from the Barossa Valley. G'day, mate. Tommy?
Tommy, you there?
Let's go to Alf. G'day, Alf.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
What's your take on it, mate?
Now, my take, I've been hit with the flu injection twice, seen a neurologist twice, reacted. I can't have the flu injection. Mm-hmm. On steroids for 6 weeks to get off what I had that affected my nerves. With this here, if I travel, I'll probably have to take it and bite the bullet. But another thing I want to put forward to you is, you know how we carry our mobile phones?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you walk into a shopping centre, then you've got to go in another place, then you go to a restaurant.
Yeah, check in.
Why can't our phones be our licence? Carry it with you instead of checking in everywhere. If a copper pulls you over, look, this is my phone, have a look where I've been.
You're a very trusting man, but imagine everyone else saying, oh, you can track your phone, you can track every single movement that you make.
They're doing it now, mate.
Of course,
you know,
but we can't.
We're being tracked everywhere you go today. So this is my opinion. Like, you know, these fines are ridiculous. To my opinion, if someone sort of has been to a place, I know we've got to do it. And look, I want this world to be safe, but we're being tracked at the moment. You go to a restaurant, you get out, and it says, "How was your meal? How did you rate your meal at wherever you've been?" So, you know, why can't your phones be like a tracking device for you? If that's what they're trying to do, I mean, you know, that's my opinion. I don't know about you guys. Yep.
Good on you, mate. Enough, mate. Stay safe, buddy. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Alex from Richmond. G'day, buddy.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Yep, good, mate.
A quick question before we go to this one. Mm-hmm. How come last night the footballers, they can play on the field without a mask, and as soon as they go downstairs, they've got to put the mask on?
It's hilarious, isn't it? Yeah, I guess that the AFL and the government are really just trying to put restrictions around things, and they're trying to make it as safe and as, you know, healthy as possible. So in that sort of sense, obviously they play, but then you see Beveridge sitting up in the box having to wear his mask. And yeah, I guess they're just ticking the boxes, aren't they? It's probably like how we have to wear masks at the footy. You can all catch the train in, all jammed in like sardines, but then as soon as you walk into the ground, put the mask on.
The lads down at the butcher shop at Foodland in Henley, Chris, the boys here, he showed me one of the lads in there, and they showed me a photo of one of the Port games recently. They're all coming home, jammed.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Port fans on top of each other in a tram.
Yeah. So no, they're obviously just ticking the box to make sure that it's sort of COVID safe in that arena. But really, it's how it then spreads from there.
Jesus, anyway, she's a hot topic to discuss.
I just think people need to not blindly jump on the bandwagon and make sure that you do your research.
That's their opinion, though, G. They're allowed to have their opinion. You're allowed to have your opinion.
They're allowed to have their educated opinion, though,
Jazz. But don't ram it down their throat.
No, we're not. We're not trying to ram it down their throat. But these are experts in the field that are telling us to help the world. We need to do this.
Yeah.
And not just Adelaide, not just our little area. The world.
There was some great calls.
Yeah, but hey, well done. I loved it.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Absolutely,
but when your opinion starts to negatively affect other people, I feel like you're not any more entitled to your opinion.
Hey, G, love it. What a way to start the day.
Oh, I know, right? Getting heated in here. Coming up, Rusty's motorsport update for Bendix. Bendix Brakes, put your foot down with confidence. It's the Dead Set Legends.
Oh dear, the Melbourne Football Club made the Western Bulldogs look like a bottom four side last night with a stunning first quarter of 6 goals to defeat the Western Bulldogs by 28 points. Did you see that coming, young Bradley?
I didn't see it necessarily coming. I thought that it was a strong fought game, but Melbourne have been really, really strong.
Haven't they?
Yeah.
They're an outright flag favourite.
They have to be now, don't they?
They were super to watch last night. Yeah. They were good to watch. And
it was pretty fast-flowing at Marvel Stadium as well.
Oh, well, it's like, wasn't it?
It was. But I like it. It's good
fast.
To see. Yeah.
But it was depressing watching the game with no crowds.
I know,
that was hard.
Yeah, and you could tell the voice, you know how they put on the fake cheering crowd, sort of stuff? Yeah.
But anyway. James Brayshaw did a good call.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of the best callers, our boy Jimmy. Today, Richmond take on the Crows at Giant Stadium. It's a 1:40 kickoff. The Crows won change. We're going to catch up with Nathan Van Burlo very shortly, family, to have a chat about the Crows' big chance tomorrow.
Oh,
do you give us any chance?
Oh, mate, last week I said no, and then they've gone out and won.
Well,
so,
okay.
I don't know what's right and wrong at the moment.
No, you do. Well, okay. Let's go.
I reckon there's certainly a chance, definitely.
Right, 4:50 at Adelaide Oval tomorrow. Big crowd there for Port Adelaide fans taking on Fremantle. This will be a danger game.
Yeah,
Fremantle.
They're inconsistent,
impressive.
But they're reasonable, aren't they? Yeah. When they're on, they're really on. So
one change that surprised everyone to see Hamish Hartlett not playing Fantasia back in, which is a good sign. Yeah. And this is Hammer talking about why he's not playing.
Yeah, look, more of a circuit breaker more than anything, fellas. So obviously my form's been inconsistent, not great, not as good as I would have liked. From personal point of view, others from the outside might think differently. But, you know, over the last few weeks, I've been just heaping this pressure and expectation on myself to play better and better and better. And when I haven't, you know, that's caused some more sort of anguish, mental anguish, I guess, for myself. And so we feel like, you know, that combined with a bit of form, you know, is a good opportunity for me to get back, play Magpies and just relieve a bit of stress and mental pressure, I suppose, for myself.
God, it's everywhere, isn't it? A lot of players put a lot of pressure on themselves to perform.
Yeah, they
do. Anxiety levels are through the roof.
Oh, mate, I guess
footy's meant to be your outlet, isn't it?
Well, I know, but because it becomes a professional game, you always have to find other outlets and stuff. But yeah,
well, wish him well because he's a superstar.
But if you are thinking about the time of year, if he does it now, comes back in, he's got 12 weeks to go, whatever. I'm certainly not stressed. I think he'll come back and
he's a great young man, and all the best, Hammer. Let's go to round 8 of the sample. Central Districts take on South. Eagles take on North. That's a good game of football. The Roosters take on the Double Blues. Another good game of football. Mm-hmm. The Bays take on the Crows. That's another good game of football. And Port Adelaide take on West Adelaide. Oh, I like that game too. So some good games today.
What about the SNFL?
Go and support our sample program. The Reds take on Sydney tonight at Cooper Stadium. 6:40.
Come on, our Reds.
Come on, Carly Viet and the boys. Big crowd. Let's support our laddies.
I'm spending a week with Adelaide United next week, actually. Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Carly V.
Well, how did you get that then?
Well, I don't know. They didn't want you, obviously.
Oh.
They said, we've got a choice between Giles and Ebert. We're happy with Ebert.
Local footy today. Division 3, Gazer, my old mob, taking on Edwardstown. And cult full forward hero, Nugs Bioli's on fire. Some sample clubs are looking at Nugs for next year. Ooh. And in Division 4, Kilburn take on Mitcham at Kilburn Oval. Go and support our local football sides. They need all our support. And my boys, the Williston, we've got the bye.
Oh, yeah.
That's the scoreboard. Thank you, G.
Don't miss the Adelaide Thunderbirds blockbuster game Saturday, June the 12th. You can get your tickets at adelaidethunderbirds.com.au. And next, Nathan Van Burlo chatting with Ebo and Jars, your dead set legends on Triple M.
Jeez, are we really...
And Andrew Jarman this morning.
Bradley, let's talk to the Adelaide Crows assistant coach, former Adelaide Crows superstar, joins us on this top rating Dead Set Legends, Nathan Van Burlo. Good morning to you, VB.
Good morning, guys.
Well, you've just done a weight session. Have you gone down the beach to Earth? Have you swam with the dolphins? How's your morning been so far?
Oh, it's been pretty quiet this morning. We actually don't fly out till 11:30 this morning, so I've been actually playing Jenga with my youngest daughter, so that's about as fun as my morning's been, so... bit of family time before we head to the airport.
What a great start to the weekend.
That's the boy.
Yes. Now, VB, let's swing on to footy. Mm. Let's start with the easier one. How's the week been adjusting to the whole changes and the whole COVID outbreak? How's it been at the club?
To be honest, for us, it hasn't changed too much this week, thankfully. It's just been more so keeping up to date with what's been happening in Victoria and more so what was going to happen with our game. So we probably got some indication on early Thursday morning that there's a fair chance the game would be shifted to Sydney. So we sort of started to get our heads around that. And I think it was later confirmed that Thursday afternoon. So, to be honest, it doesn't really change too much about the way we've prepared this week. I think we had 13 guys that hadn't played at the MCG before, so that was going to be a nice experience for them to get over to the G. Mm. But I think there's about a similar number that haven't played at Giant Stadium as well. So we're getting some fresh experience into the guys, regardless of where we play. But yeah, it would have been great to get some experience from the G for them.
All good experience. Now, how do we go about beating Richmond this weekend?
Yeah, look, it's a really tough ask. You've obviously seen what they've been able to do for the last few years, but they're
and they've brought in another five players, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, and some pretty handy players that have come in too, which we were expecting. So that's nothing out of the ordinary for us. But I guess the ability to be able to match their intensity around the footy with the way they bring their pressure game and just get the ball going forward at all costs is something we've probably tried to do a little bit this year ourselves, but. I guess the intensity and the ability to sustain that for four quarters is we're not quite able to do that. So we might have to try and find ways to control the game at different times. But I'm hoping that if we bring the fight that we've brought for a number of weeks this year, that we might be in with a shot.
VB, just bring your bloody round one blueprint where you knocked off Geelong here. That's all you've got to do, mate. Bring that against Richmond. You knock them off on a neutral ground, which is Giant Stadium. Now, what I'm liking in the last month, the forward line and the forward line structure looks balanced and it's starting to become potent.
Yeah, look, we've sort of tinkered with our forward setup for, I guess, for the majority of the season with the different tools that have come in and out. And the last couple of weeks have looked pretty balanced up there, as you said. So, and we've had a few different smalls rolling through there with, obviously, with Lachie Murphy out for a little while now. So, guys are really clear on their role, which is great. And, hoping they can just keep bringing the competition ahead of the ball, and those smalls, you know, when the bigs are competing hard in the air, then those smalls come into play.
Well, exactly. My godson's doing a great job, James Rowe, down there, so keep him in, please.
Exactly right.
Oh, no worries. Leave it with me.
The other exciting thing I saw last weekend was, I guess Tex stood up right at the end. I went down the Ammer on Wednesday night, had a little feed.
Of course you did.
Had a little feed with them and Bingo night, and he was up there still crowing about it on Wednesday night.
They said that.
He was very
feed.
Excited. But, to be honest, like, those boys brought so much last week. I just thought their impact and I guess their steady sort of leadership hand really, helped the team steady. Would you agree?
Yeah, and that's probably been, when we've played our best footy this year, our leaders have stood up. Our senior players have played their roles. And then it's funny how, you know, the younger guys just take their lead and just almost, oh, I can do that. I can jump in behind. And, you know, it's pretty easy to get in behind Tex when he's up and going. Sloaney's no different. You've got the big guys down back as well, which make a difference. But, your leaders are critically important the way you go about your footy. And sometimes it's the other way around, where the young fellas just go out with some intensity and the older guys get kicked into gear. But for the vast majority, it's been jumping behind the old blokes when they start playing their role.
Yeah, that's it, mate. Now, I just need to swing a little bit off footy, because I hear that you had a little round of golf with one A. Jarman the other day.
Here we go.
Now, I did.
Now, I really need to know about that first tee off at West Beach. What happened? Was he any good?
Well, I was presuming that the first tee off at West Beach goes directly straight on the fairway, but apparently there was a hole off to the right and it almost went on to
driving along Military Road around that same time in my Amarok, and there it comes, a big golf ball, bang, square into the
It was the bloke in front of me.
Oh,
it's actually fair to say we played around a golf together, but I only saw Jars at the first tee off, and then we sort of met at the end of each hole.
Now I need to know, is 110 a good score at West Beach?
Oh, VB, I'm going to give you a call after the show. You better get to Sydney now. Mate, good luck tomorrow. Big, very important game. We're one game out of the top eight, so the boys can do the job against Richmond. They're a bit fragile at the moment, so enjoy the experience and come home safely.
Good on you, guys. Thanks for the chat.
Yes, there's my former golf partner, Nathan Van Burlo. Geez, you're not bad, are you?
Hey,
Where'd you find that information out from, knucklehead?
I've got my ear to the ground. I know what's going on.
You've got your ear to the ground, have you?
I do, yes. No, you don't. No, I don't. I get told these things.
You got your snout and a glass of wine in your mind. This is the Dead Set.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends every Saturday morning from 9, Ebo, Bluey and Jars.
Well, minus Blewett, G. Blewett's crook.
Yeah, he is a bit crook
he's
today.
He's a man down, he's in bed, resting
following
up.
Following the leader, yep.
Nice. So all the best cricket lips.
Yes, yes. Now, I've got another little random segment tonight.
Have
today,
you?
This
well,
morning.
You've stirred the pot up regarding the vaccine. The phones are still going off. Text messages are going through the computer.
I don't even know if I can read them out, actually. Should I read a couple?
Go on.
Yeah.
Go for it.
What have we got here?
There you go. Should have done that.
People before. Have fillets to puff their lips, Botox in their wrinkles, implants in their boobs and butts, yet are worried about a COVID jab.
Yeah, so true.
What time? Yeah, that's well done. But here's another one. Love you, Ebo. Big Port fan, but stick to talking about footy. My body, I choose what goes in it.
Yeah, it's a good call.
Fair.
Good
text.
Yeah,
and that's fair. So anyway, mate, and they keep going. It's been flat out. Anyway. It's been good. But I've got another random topic for you here. And this is something that came across my desk. I was speaking to a mate about it yesterday. Mm. So do you remember the old days of trading cards?
Yes.
AFL got, you know, select cards and all that sort of stuff. And you buy your little packs and... So a couple of the boys at the club, they were getting into NBA trading cards. And it's a legitimate thing where you buy and sell and you can actually make some decent money off it.
Okay.
The evolution now, Jars, and this would be right up your alley because I could imagine that you'd be loving to buy a little Andrew Jarman highlight. But nowadays in the NBA, they've got Top Shots NBA where you can buy moments.
Okay.
So you buy moments from a game, you buy them just like trading cards, but it's a moment and it's then on your phone, on your computer, all that sort of stuff. And so you can buy, you know, LeBron James scoring a three-pointer to win a game or whatever, and then it's traded. So then therefore it's in a blockchain sort of system, just like... what do you call it? Cryptocurrency.
Well,
so
Mods is marked on Big Martin back in the day.
Imagine.
You know, that where he took sat on his head.
Yeah, imagine that being traded as a moment. And so therefore, like, he obviously must get royalties and stuff because it's an NBA sort of system.
Like it.
But they're talking about this new system where it's $230 million in gross sales thus far. So it's not like a little thing anymore. Wow. It's now a genuine thing where there's $230 million worth of currency in this blockchain thing that's been created around buying moments. And but there's one here, a LeBron James highlight sold for $200,000, $200,000 US.
And what's the highlight?
I don't even know. I didn't even read into it far enough to know exactly what the moment was.
Just
but it would
for
have
a
been...
card of that moment.
So it's not even a card anymore. Now it's the moment. It's so the you moment. Buy packs, but it's all virtual sort of packs. So you'd own it on your sort of blockchain
system. Who started this?
System. I can't exactly remember who started it, but I have a feeling it's even an Adelaide bloke. So I got thrust on me a little bit, and I need to do a bit more research into it.
Well, I thought you would have done that anyway.
Well, it sort of got thrown on me a little bit quicker than I expected.
It's fascinating.
But it is a pretty cool system, isn't it?
What would be your great moment? Getting knocked out a few times?
Yeah, that'd be my highest selling thing. Hopefully it can give me a little bit of royalties back later on in life.
Oh, we're going on another song, aren't we?
Oh, we're going on to a song, G.
That's a long intro. You can keep talking for a while.
Oh, okay. I want to know what your greatest moment would be.
Well, I thought we were still talking about it, but we're going on a song now.
We're going to a song now.
Well, just stop talking about going to the song and just talk about what you want to talk about.
Do we throw out like a moment or something to callers?
Yeah.
133353.
It's a boy.
Yeah. Give us a call, listeners. I want to hear what your greatest moment that you would buy for. What would you buy a moment in a game? And it can be anything, I guess. It can be, me getting knocked out, or it can be Andrew Jarman somehow kicking a miraculous goal back in the day.
No.
But
on 104.7 Triple M, Brad Ebert and Andrew Jarman are your Dead Set Legends this morning.
Yes, Jars, you ready to go, mate, or what?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
All right.
We're talking about moments you'd buy.
Yeah, so that's what I was just explaining before, that there's a new currency, I guess, a new market of buying and selling moments in games, and the NBA have really taken off with it, and you know, $230 million of money floating around in this system of buying and selling moments, and we were talking about yours. Yours is Godra's big specky.
Mickey Martin.
On Mickey
Footy
Martin.
Park,
and there you go. So how much would you pay for it? And that's sort of what happens. And then people start trading on it. But anyway, I think we've got a couple callers in here who've got a couple key moments.
Okay, let's go to Albert of Alberton. G'day, mate.
Oh, good morning, boys. How are we?
Yeah, going well. Moment you'd buy.
Good. Oh, there's two of them. I reckon would have to be the Angus Monfries right-hand turn.
Woo. Yeah, that was a moment.
Showdown. That was one. That was a good one. And definitely Stephen Motlop's 2018 last howler to kick the Crows out of that showdown as well. It's got to be a showdown once.
That was an absolute cracker as well. As obviously a
Port
fan,
Jars,
good man.
That's all right, buddy. That's all good, Albert. Nah, thanks for your call, mate. Rod Jamison and Scotty Cummings, first showdown.
Oof,
that'd be a moment you'd buy.
Definitely.
The haymakers everywhere. I don't think one landed.
No, but they were throwing them, weren't they?
Throwing them
willy-nilly. Yeah, that was vicious.
That was vicious, was it?
Well, it was, wasn't it?
It was just great footy. Let's go to Trev from Parra Hills. G'day, Trev.
G'day, folks. How you going?
Good.
Good, mate.
Moment you'd buy, mate.
Oh, I'm going to pump up your tyres, Jars.
No. Who is this? Who is this, really? This is Jars has called you up, hasn't he?
This is back in the late 80s when down at Prospect when you and your brother were playing. I remember it was around the forward flank and the ball was contested. You've come in, Jars, volleyballed the ball out to your brother out there on the outside and he spotted one from about 50 on the run.
Don't Trevor, I've got to get emotional.
Jars,
I want a prize for Trev, please. He's tearing up here.
I want to get him. Prize, thank you, Trev.
That's good to see he remembers.
Trev, we're going to give you $50 to spend at Faster Pasta, mate. Tune in to Ruined Eats on Monday morning and State Lasagna for your chance to win $500 to spend at Faster Pasta. Ordering from Faster Pasta just got faster. Download their new app and get a free serve of garlic bread with your first order.
Brilliant.
Well read.
Brilliant. Yeah, and I'd buy that too.
Of course you would.
I'd buy that,
mate. Of course you would.
Thank you,
Trev. Somehow try and put it on a frame or do something with it, I'm sure. But have we got another caller?
Yeah,
there?
We have, Bradley. Oh, just right. Let me get into the calls. Jamie of Liverpool. G'day, Jamie.
Yeah, g'day, guys. The Mark Moorcroft mark in 2001.
Gary Moorcroft, yes.
Yes. Oh, sorry, yes.
Nah, that's, I too totally agree with you.
Defied
gravity.
There's some great moments there, Jamie. Fantastic.
Now,
I've got another one as well.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
2014 elimination final against Richmond when Hammer took the ball, took a bump from whoever it was, and then gave the handball off to an open goal.
Yes.
That moment was fantastic.
Wasn't it just? I remember that moment has been played even inside the change rooms. Whenever they're putting like inspirational videos together, that video, that moment is always in there for sure.
But there's some great moments with our great Indigenous brothers and sisters.
And this is where it was going to lead into. Yeah, Sir Doug Nicholls around this weekend.
It is.
And it's an absolute, you know, perler of a weekend to be able to watch some footy and actually respect and celebrate what our Indigenous players have brought to the game. And there's been absolute stars throughout this thing. I'm looking in the advertiser here. They put a team together from 2000.
Greatest team.
Funny, actually, my moment I was thinking about was Ash Sampian. I reckon it was in that same year that Gary Moorcroft took his.
Mm-hmm.
It was right at that time when I was about 15, loving footy. And there's Ash Sampy standing on someone's shoulders about 3 metres above the ground, and he's taken an absolute screamer. I don't know about you, Jars. You got anything more to add in that sort of space?
Well, no, I do, because I love Cyril Rioli.
Yes.
The two best, and I was lucky to play with Greg McAdam and Gilbert McAdam, who were wonderful, Michael Long.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so Gavin Wanganeen for me and Cyril Rioli are probably the best two I think I've ever seen play.
Wow. See, I still think Adam Goods is an absolute star. I think that he is certainly up there in that conversation as well, but I totally agree with you. There's
so many good ones, but here's some Cyril highlights. Mm.
Clever, rough head. Rioli picks himself up and dribbles. And even when Cyril dribbles, it's a beautiful thing. Neat looking kick. Oh, yes. Cyril takes a special and goes bang. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, I hope this stays in. It does. Keep going. Oh, yes. Now it gets really interesting. Two bouncers. He'll caress it down someone's throat, and he does, and they've got six. Yep, six. Oh.
He's one of the most watchable players in the competition. What a delicious young player he is.
Delicious.
I think it'd be fair to say if we had Bruce sitting in here with us, he'd have one person in mind.
And I tell
it?
You right now, young man, I miss Bruce calling footy. It's not the same without Bruce.
I know, mate.
But that's for me, Cyril Rioli was just, you had to watch that.
Yeah, and another moment for me was Gavin Wanganeen kicking four in the 2004 Premiership, mate.
Wanganeen from behind here has to spoil. Johnson took his time. Wanganeen will kick another.
Oh, wow.
Can I give him a top five?
Oh, top five.
Yeah, Gav.
Top five players.
Gav,
okay.
Gav,
yep,
Cyril.
Yep.
Buddy.
Yes.
Buddy three.
Yes.
Sean Burgoyne.
Oh, has to be. Silk. Absolute legend.
And then Adam Goods for me. So they're my top five all time.
I need to throw in one other. David Wirrpunda.
Yes.
It goes into a top six, I guess, then.
Yes.
But David Wirrpunda for me, getting to see him firsthand as well as a young kid at West Coast, absolute star.
Awesome, they are stars. Yeah.
Still to come, Triple M's own AFL newsbreak, Jay Clark, chatting with the legends, Ebo and Jars.
Yes, Monday morning we come in and check our voicemail messages that we receive.
Switch it off over the weekend.
Well, we do, the rush hour boys. Yep. So, look, here's the friends that have called through.
You have 14 new messages.
14! G'day, boys. Darren from SA Private Investigations. Look, we've updated our search for Jarman and we've pulled out all the stops. We've put out discount paint signs at Bunnings. We've faked a free footy legends invite down at Westlakes and offered free coffees and food for comments at Cocolard Henley. And, well, we're pretty sure this one will bring him in, boys.
Oh, g'day, Matty Nix here. Won by a single point. You f***ing beauty.
Yeah, g'day, boys. Ken here. Won by a single point. You're not f***ing good enough.
Hello, it's Yada, head of the Triple M call team at the glorious Adelaide Oval. Let's have a look at the team, shall we? We've got a night store owned by 134 games for the Adelaide Groves Rep Biglands. Blewett gets free passes to any cricket game in the country. Rue owns a pub, and what freebies do I get for carrying the big home games? A f***ing warm Mount Franklin and a leftover piece of shit that no one wanted from the Rock Patrol. You're taking the piss.
Trev from Cooyonga here, Blue. Just had a look at your invoice for the lunch you did the other day, mate. And, well, look, normally $5,000 isn't out of the question, but this lunch was a fundraiser, mate. Didn't you see the kids down the front? So, yeah, we'll have to pass on that one. Sorry, bud.
G'day, boys. It's Tex.
Tex?
Had a good win over the D's on Saturday night, so thought I'd do some gardening to relax today. Dickhead at Bunnings said Roundup is good for weeds. It's not, it kills them. Hello, Andrew, it's Dr. Jamakley from Henley Medical. We can't actually write a sick leave for an entire week unless we actually know you are sick, so please make an appointment if you can.
Andrew Charman, Dr. Tremaine from Seaford Medical. We don't write medical certificates, not even for, quote, living SA legends. Apologies.
It's Ken. Why did you take my medical certificate off the nightstand and I can't find my liquid paper anywhere?
Boys, Spato, your boss.
Wow.
Look, we've activated the Charman protocol for when he decides to take another week off with no notice, and next to you two, people won't even notice the difference, so we're going to put a potato in his chair. good call.
Oh, Dits here from Triple M's ruined it for breakfast. Look, I'm a Port fan. That has nothing to do with this. I'm not biased. But the AFL should overturn any goal in the last 2 minutes of a game at Adelaide Oval if kicked by Tex Walker and get rubbed out for 2 weeks. Look, I'm not biased.
Oh, g'day. Todd from Adelaide Marine Mechanics here, mate. Bern, found a rattle in your boat, mate. Took us a while because we only looked at it last week and it was fine. But under the bow, we found 143 beer bottle caps. And well, we also found two from some raspberry vodka cruisers. I thought I heard you say on the radio Biglands wasn't allowed on the deck, but anyway, mate, ready to pick up.
G'day, boys, it's Purple. Got a bit of news. The perpetual juxtaposition of AFL-dominant superintendents has developed some engrossing certitude facilitating Port's forbidding counter-prohibition of the prison bars. Now, the AFL has unequivocally counter-asserted that Koshy can take his proverbial phallic tendon member and proceed post-haste impel to said member into his own rectum.
Yeah, Bern. Yeah, Micah from the Stansbury pub. Yeah. Look, I'm in the shit. Look, all I did was had a look in the piggy bank and, well, the cops said we don't appreciate you calling our station that. Your dad might have to just pour his own this weekend. Yeah.
Hello, boys. Bluey the legend, Bernard. I hope Jars is back this week. Otherwise, the rush hour will be like a bottle of skim milk. 98% fat free. He's back.
There are no more messages.
The Dead Set Legends with Ebo, Bluey and Jars presents AFL Newsbreaker.
Jay Clark.
He's our good boy. He joins us every Saturday morning, family. He's on his bike too, Bradley, in his lycra. He's got his plums hanging out on the side of the road there in Melbourne.
He does. You've got to have the lycra on, though, Jay.
You've got to have the lycra on there, young man. Mm-hmm. Now, plenty to get through. The uncertainty about COVID in the AFL competition. We saw last night's game played. It was an empty feeling, no crowds. It was hard to watch, even though Melbourne were fantastic. What's been happening over there in Melbourne the last 24 hours, Jay?
Yeah, it's been an extraordinary couple of days down here with the uncertainty, etc. What we do know is the Western Bulldogs are flying into Perth tomorrow. They'll be there for a week. They take on Fremantle next weekend. Now, at this stage, they've been told by the league that will be a one-week trip, so they'll essentially be stuck in their hotel for 1 week. They'll play the game and then they'll get back here. So that's clarity around one club. It must be said that all the other Victorian teams have absolutely no idea what they're doing over the next few days, and the league has already indicated that there mightn't be clarity on some of these fixtures and some of these games until later next week. So I can tell you this morning that there have been 5 new cases reported in Victoria, which, look, I think that's probably not a bad result, to be honest. Yesterday, the Chief Health Officer, Brett Sutton, said there could be 10 or 20.
Yeah.
So 4 yesterday, 5 today. I think we'll sort of take that as we bunker down and get stuck into the tiny teddies and the chisels for the next week and maybe a sneaky gin on the side, because that's what we do in lockdown over here, Jars. So we had to practice last year. So look, at the moment, it's what is clear is that, look, I don't think we'll be seeing, you know, crowds next week. If in Victoria, certainly, if there are increased crowds, they will be small crowds, you'd think, for the next few months. I don't think we'll be seeing these 85% slightly like we have in the early part of the season. So we always feared this would be here, and it is here, and our clubs trying to take an open mindset in terms of being prepared for anything, and that's what Melbourne coach Simon Goodwin said last night.
Do they end up, did the AFL bring in any form of equality around all this sort of stuff? Because you know Bulldogs have to then sit in a hotel room if other clubs are then flying around the country again. Do they start talking about that, or is that more just, you know, as a week-by-week case?
It is an excellent question, Ebo. So last year we found that they would allow there to be sort of 1 or 2 weeks of inequality, but after that, then basically all the clubs have to be pulled back into the same training conditions. So the Western Bulldogs, I think, have special exemption to train once or twice on Optus Stadium. There's a gym there they can use. So they do have some flexibility, but otherwise they are really hotel bound. But if this is a prolonged thing, and we all hope that it isn't, then you're spot on. There will be a move to bring all the clubs into the same conditions. And I think that just sort of sadly has to happen.
Now, we've seen a report come out around the new book, The Boys Club. I can't remember who wrote it, but it's
Michael Warner from the Herald Sun.
Mm-hmm. So he's written this book, The Boys Club, and it sort of delves into the AFL's, well, I guess, inequality again and its way of treating people and that. What's been the washout of that?
Yeah, look, it's a fearsome book. Hold on to you. You have to be sitting down as you read this one. Hold on to your hats, your socks, whatever you're wearing. You've got it. It's some intense stuff in there. Michael Warner, as an author, holds absolutely no punches. So I encourage everyone to get out and grab a copy. Look, the AFL is under serious pressure, increased pressure, about some of the incidents in the past with female colleagues who have reportedly, continue to suffer because of what happened in their time at the AFL. So I think that what everyone wants is for the AFL to be an organisation that is run in a way that everyone can be proud of. And Gil McLachlan has certainly been strong in the case that that's his aspiration too, and that they've made some ground there. But I think, you know, has there been some skeletons in the closet? Well, grab that book and have a read, because certainly it is a really big issue in the game right now.
Now, Hawthorn, they've come up to the AFL asking about the mid-season draft. There's a young pick, I believe, that they're going to try and poach. Other clubs are up in arms.
So all the best list managers are really crafty, as we know, Evo. They'd like to try and push and prod the boundaries where they can. So Hawthorn want to take this kid, Jai Newcombe, with their second pick. He's currently playing under Sam Mitchell at Box Hill, and they love him. His average is 23 possessions, 7 tackles a game, and has really come on to be perfect for that Hawthorn midfield. But what he's done is he's nominated under other terms, which means he puts a price on his head. Ooh, so I understand his second year, he said that he has to be paid $170,000 for his second year, and that it has to be a 30-month contract. Now, other clubs are a bit tight in the salary cap. It means, well, we might just take the bloke that costs us 80 as opposed to this bloke who costs us 170. So Hawthorn want to take a big ruckman, Ned Moore, pick two, and then hope this kid Newcomb slides through to their second-round pick. Now, Sydney Swans, we can tell you, have officially complained to the AFL. They've said that this is not on. It interferes with the integrity of the draft. If you're going to have a draft, why isn't everyone just sort of available under the same conditions, particularly for an unlisted player? So John Newcomb's never played AFL before. So just like the national draft, they sort of think, well, if you put the players in a hat and all the clubs pick them out, you don't have these sort of restrictions or interferences. So it's a real tricky one. And recruiters are fuming. Rival recruiters are fuming at the moment. The rules allow it as it stands, but that's why Sydney want the AFL to review it before Wednesday's draft to make sure that he is eligible and free to pick for everyone under the same conditions. Recruiters are also scrambling. So this is the final week before the mid-season draft on Wednesday. They had all sorts of medical, psych tests, interviews booked. Now with the lockdown, none of that can happen. So recruiters, we know yesterday, were calling the AFL saying, put it off, we're scrambling. And we can't do any of these medical tests because none of the players can go to the can come into the club or see the recruiters or the coaches, etc. So they're trying to push that off. I don't think that'll happen. So they've got a bit of work ahead of them, the old scouts.
Sure do.
Good on you, Jay. All the best. Now, I thought they're in lockdown. You're riding a bike in the streets of Melbourne. Well, you got an exemption, have you?
Exercise.
Yes,
surely.
Yes. Mate, the radio's got to continue. We've got the tomorrow. Football's very important. So I'm very lucky and grateful from that aspect, Jay.
Okay. Stay safe, mate, and we'll speak
good
next
on
week.
Boys.
See you, mate. Jay Clark there on the Dead Set Legend.
Go, Jars.
Yeah.
Jazz Jam, Ram Jam on Triple M's Dead Set Legends every Saturday morning from 9 with Brad Ebert, Greg Blewett and Andrew Jarman.
I'm up and about from that, Jazz.
Righto. Round 11.
Here we go. We're getting straight into the tips.
Let's go, buddy.
All right. So this afternoon, 1:15, we've got Collingwood versus Geelong.
MCG, no crowds. I'm going the Cats.
Yeah, fair point. Okay, I'm doing the same. But they've also got Duncan and Guthrie out, a couple of big outs.
Big outs.
But I think they've still got the cattle to do it. Brisbane Lions versus GWS, 140 at the Gabba.
And crowds.
Crowds will be at that. Yep.
I'm going Lions.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about the Lions I like.
They're building nicely, aren't they? They had a bit of a rough start, but they're really starting to come on. Mm-hmm. Okay, Marvel Stadium, 405. No crowds, obviously. St Kilda versus North Melbourne.
Oh, this is a tough one.
So St Kilda got smashed by 111 points last week.
Normally sides will fight back and bounce back, so I'm going to have to go with the Saints, young man.
Yeah, I think I'm the same. North Melbourne are still in their sort of hurt locker phase, so I'm fortunate for them, but Saints will get it done.
Yes, sir.
SCG. Now, this is a game that's been moved from Queensland because Hawthorn weren't allowed to go into into Queensland. Anyway, Gold Coast Suns versus Hawthorn, 7-10 at the SCG.
Burgoyne and Shields come back in for Hawthorn. They're a bit of a mess at the moment, aren't they, Hawthorn?
Yeah,
he's playing
are.
Too many oldies. He's got to start backing all the youth.
You reckon it's time to really move them on?
I think Clarko needs to just play all the kids.
Yeah, well, they're certainly at that point, aren't they? Because what are they on their ladder at the moment? They're sitting at 17.
Yeah, okay. But so I'm going Gold Coast.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Jeez, we're on the same page here. And I know in the tips in the paper, you're not doing too well either.
But so I'm not in the. But I'm not in the paper. Well, what do you mean?
Are you not?
No.
Going on what the numbers are saying on Triple M then. No, well, I know where I saw it anyway.
Okay.
Optus Stadium, West Coast versus the Bombers.
Yeah, go West Coast for me.
Yep, me too. Mm. Tomorrow, Richmond versus... no, we're going to save the Crows and the Power till last. Sydney versus Carlton, 250 at the SCG. Sydney for me.
Yeah, look, Sydney, buddy's got a bit aroused in the last couple of weeks. Carlton, where are they at? I can't trust Carlton.
They're another team that you can't trust, can you? Nah, they're sitting middle to bottom of the top eight, the 12th at the moment. They're just too inconsistent.
I'm going Swans.
Yep. Now let's turn our attention onto the Crows and Power. Right. So Crows are playing Richmond.
Yes, they are.
And this is now at Giant Stadium rather than the MCG. Mm-hmm. Sunday, 1:40 p.m. Who do you go?
Well, if the Crows and Nathan Van Berlo was a bit bullish, I like that word, that if they can bring their pressure game and win the contest, they need to keep an eye on Dusty Martin. You can't let him run around like an unregistered dog.
No, you can't.
Bradley?
I think we had a talk last week maybe about the tag and whether it's still there and stuff. I don't think you need a tag per se, but someone like a...
Keys could go with him.
Keys would be the
through
one.
The midfield.
Keys would be the one. Just match him. Just match him and then be able to damage him offensively as well.
They got some good ins though, Richmond.
They've got five, don't they?
Good
good
ins. Well, you got Cochin, Prestia, Bolton, Caddy, just to name a few. So they're quality premiership players. So
yeah, it's going to be tough for them.
You know what? I'm backing in me, boys. I'm going Crows.
Okay. I'll go Richmond. But last week I said Crows had no chance.
Well, you did, yeah. You did get it wrong, yeah.
I did. Mm. So who knows? Now, Port Adelaide versus Frio tomorrow afternoon, 4:50 p.m. Pretty much a Sunday night.
What kind of crowd? What would you like to see?
I'd love to see the Port Adelaide faithful get out in numbers and 30,000 plus. With everything that's going on with the whole COVID sort of stuff in Melbourne and people not allowed out and all that sort of stuff, I don't know if it's going to be as strong. But I still think Sunday night, good atmosphere for footy, good weather. Yeah, still 20 to 30,000. Port v Dockers. Who are you going?
I think Port Adelaide for me.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too.
Home deck, got some quality. Rosie. So obviously Hammer's told the coach that, look, I need to run in the sample. Darcy, Byrne, Jones and Hammer have been struggling the last month off cross half back. And that's where they've been playing some.
They're probably not getting that same punch, are they?
Correct.
You know, that link between the half back being able to then get deep inside 50. I think they also need to really work on that turnover of the footy further up the ground.
Correct.
They're relying on it getting too far down into the back half, where if they're able to turn it over a little bit higher, that's probably what what Port Adelaide were really built off
of last
year.
And Toddy Marshall needs, I think, a quality game, doesn't he? Tomorrow?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. And I think he's probably a player that people talk about a bit. But yeah, I think he brings a good amount to the team when he's up and about, but he has been quiet recently. So I think he really needs to have a good one as well.
But don't ride off Frio. They're coached well.
Not.
They play good quality football. They structure up well. They've got some serious players that can play.
I think the issue around Liam Ryan, whether he's going to play or not, is going to be a big factor, because if he can't get up, he's a star, and a lot of their offensive ball movement comes off
Luke?
Of his ability. Who did I say?
You said Liam.
Oh, Liam. Yeah, Luke Ryan. Sorry, mate. There you go. Yeah, so anyway,
Port Adelaide.
Ryan. But yeah, I reckon he's the way that he can move off half back and stuff, I think he's a big, big one.
Mate, before we go, Emma G, thank you for your contribution to our team out the out the studio. Now, Auntie Tanya, who are they playing today?
I don't know. Who are they playing today?
Bad, are you?
You did the stats and everything. You did the whole thing for it, didn't you?
The Thunderbirds.
The Thunderbirds.
He doesn't
who
care.
Have they got tonight?
Jeez, you've dropped off Auntie Tanya
because
they're
I
bottom.
Haven't. Come on, the
Come
T-Birds.
Come on, Auntie Tanya.
I just know that they're going to put on a big performance tonight and get the win. Well, that's all I know. So come on, T-Birds. Thank you very much, Jazz.
Okay, thanks, family.
Thanks,
see you Monday.
It's been fantastic.
See you, G.
Stick around now for the Rub Triple M Rocks footy next. And remember, you can now stream the footy wherever you are on the Listener app, LISTNR. Download it now for free and just select Triple M Adelaide.
Sportsbet Elite Average Games. Download the app today and make it look easy. With Sportsbet, gamble responsibly.